You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
Well, today I want to minister a message, One Life for Christ Jesus. You have one life for Christ Jesus, and that life is so dear. Amen? When we look at the people around us, maybe when you look at yourself, we know that we are not equally gifted. But we all have gifts and strengths on the inside of us. And those gifts that we've got, we should use it to advance the kingdom of God. We should use it to lift people's mood, to help people, encourage people, pray for people. I know young people often say, what is my gift? What is it that God wants me to do? Well, the one gift that you've got on the inside of you already is Jesus Christ. Amen? It's Jesus Christ. So when you become aware of that gift on the inside, everything will change. When you're aware of Jesus on the inside, your speech will change. Your attitude will change. Your behavior will change. But many times people misbehave because they're not aware of Jesus. Listen to what Colossians 1 verse 26 says. It says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generation, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your word that is light and life. Thank you for your word that touches our hearts, O Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Bring revelation and understanding of Jesus, of his purpose and his plans to everyone today, Father. Let your people hear your voice upon my voice, O Father, and take them from where they are to where you want them to be. Let your blood speak, let your mercy speak, let your righteousness speak, let your favor speak as we minister the word of God in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And everybody said, amen. More than anything, open your heart to hear what God is saying. Amen? We all have a gift on the inside of us. Turn to the person next to you and say, whether you like it or not, you have a gift. The question you have to ask yourself is, what are you doing with that gift? We have one life to live for Christ Jesus. And when you've got the gift of Christ on the inside, wherever we go, we should bring hope. We should bring hope. We should bring peace. We should bring encouragement wherever we go. We should manifest the glory and the presence of God wherever we go. This life that you are living for Christ Jesus, what are you doing with it? Are you making sure that you are doing what God has called you to do? Turn to the person next to you. Just remind them one more time. Say, whether you like it or not, you have a gift on the inside. That word that's on the inside of you, it's full of vision. It's full of purpose. It's full of hope. When that word, when you respond to that word by faith, God will do far more abundantly above whatever you could think or imagine or dream. That's just the way that God operates and the way that God does things. Amen? God wants to use you to manifest his glory. Some of us look at ourselves and say, how am I ever going to do it? Let me tell you, sometimes you just have to take that first step in the right direction and say, God, I'm going to trust you and do what you've called me to do. You know, from a young age, I knew God had called me to be a preacher. My mother had promised me to God. I've told the story many times where I was dead as a baby. And she lifted me up and says, God, I give him back to you. And I had my own plans, but God had his own plans. And when a mother is praying, when a father is praying, when parents are praying for a child, and God has got a plan for you, guess who's going to win? God. So young people, I highly recommend trying to run away from what God wants to do and see if you can get away. It's not going to happen. Can I have one amen? Some of the parents are looking at me like, you don't know what my children are doing right now. You just don't change your confession. God has given you a promise as a parent that you and your household will serve God. And you hold on to that. Light expels darkness. The blessing is greater than the curse. Listen to what the Bible says, Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and the Lord will give glory. Who gives grace? God. God gives grace, God gives glory. No good thing will be withheld from those who walk uprightly. Family, listen to me. You know Matthew 6 verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. When you walk in righteousness, when you try and do everything right, all things will be added. Who does God give grace to? Who does God give glory to? The upright. Do you want that to multiply in your life? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The problem in the church right now, they're seeking all the add-ons. All the things that should be added. And then, oh, we remember the kingdom and we remember righteousness. God is the one who gives grace. God is the one who gives glory. You cannot take grace. You cannot take glory. But God is the one who gives it. By grace you have been saved through faith. Amen. But when it comes to grace, you have your part to play. Grace to run a straight race. Can I have one amen? I mean, there's so many things going on in this life. You wake up in the morning, you say, today I'm going to get it right. And before you've walked out the back door or the front door, you've messed up. Can I just have one hand to see the pastor's not on his own? But God chooses grace rather than works, so that no man should boast, so that there can be hope for any and all of us. You might look at your situation and your circumstance and say, how am I ever going to make it? You might compare your life to somebody else and say, everything is just working out for them. How do you know that? Ecclesiastes 9 verse 11 says, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. Can I ask you, what are you doing with your opportunities that God is bringing your way? You don't have to be the fastest, but you have to be faithful. You don't have to be the strongest, but be a hard worker. You don't have to be the wisest, but just be a hard worker. Be diligent. You don't have to be the smart guy that's always got ideas and tricks and plans and something, but just do something. Can I have an amen? I think sometimes people don't understand grace. Grace does not mean you do nothing and God brings the blessing. Grace means God empowers you so that you can do far more abundantly above what you could in your own strength. You know, I saw a very good example from Louis Giglio this week. He had a jack, you know, a car jack. When you have a flat tire, you take out the jack and you put it on the side of the car and you either turn or you jack it up and it lifts the car. And you can take the wheel off and you can fix it and you can move on your journey. Am I right? Anybody here that when you have a flat tire, you lift the car by yourself with your one arm, undo the nuts with your hand, take the wheel off, put the other one on and drop? You cannot do that. Am I talking to the right people? I know my son would like to try that, but no, you're not going to do that. Amen. And Calvin, the power lifters, and Arnold, where are they? They'll say, we'll just lift the car. Grace is the jack. Grace is the jack that you lift under that heavy weight that lifts the car for you. But guess what? You still have to put your hand on the jack and do something. Is when you do that, the car lifts. You cannot do it in your own strength. That's what grace does. You don't say, jack up. No, no, no. They're going to think you're crazy. But that's what Christians sometimes do. Lord, bring the blessing. No, the Bible says God blesses the work of your hands. Put your hands to something. God doesn't give you everything. He says, every place where you put your foot down, that I'm going to give to you, Joshua. So move forward. Am I talking to the right people here? In your race that you are running, are you doing what God has called you to do? Grace is a gift with a lift. Jesus is that gift with a lift that just lifts you up. Get him in your life, put your hand to something, and you see what God will do. Can I say this? When you have been saved by grace, when you read John 1, the Word became flesh, and when it manifested, we could see its glory. Grace upon grace. Do you know who's grace? Grace is a person. Grace is Jesus Christ. When you are saved by grace, spirit regenerated, linked up with God, guess what's one of the first things that's going to happen to you when you are saved by grace? You're going to start to be kind. People that are saved, that are born of the Spirit, are kind because it's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. One gift that grace produces is kindness. And we need kindness in this nation and in the world more than ever before. Not kind towards sin when somebody does something wrong. Say, ah, you just had a weak moment. That's why you stole the car and killed the driver. It's fine. Grace, grace. No, I'm not talking about that. That's wrong. Amen. We love the sinner, but we hate the sin. So when you have the gift of Christ on the inside of you, guess what? You have the potential of great kindness on the inside of you. Can I have one amen with a smile? Let me show you Ephesians 2 verse 7. Ephesians 2 verse 8, you know it. By grace we have been saved, amen? Through faith. It's a gift of God. But listen to what verse 7 says. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So what does the grace of God do in our lives? He's kind towards us. Kindness is when you help somebody. Kindness is when you lift up somebody. That's a kind person. When everybody is frowning at you, then you smile. That's a kind person. Turn to the person next to you, say, because of Jesus on the inside of me, I have kindness on the inside of me. That is God's exceedingly great riches towards us. I've made it my goal to be more kind. I'm even trying to smile more while I'm preaching. To be more friendly, amen? A month ago, we had a guy that, more than a month ago, we had somebody that visited our church from the UK. He'd not been in a church for 10 years. He has studied revivals in churches everywhere. And when I met with him, he said, I want to tell you something. This church is ready for revival. And I said, why? He said, your people are kind. Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord a hand for yourself. It's actually our ushers and hostesses that are so kind and the children's church workers that are so kind. Amen? But kindness is very important. If you're going to run a race, don't be miserable, moody, difficult. Be kind. Do it with a smile. Amen? I read a story a while back. Where's my glasses? I want to just pronounce the name right. Evangelist Mordecai Ham. Anybody heard of him? Anybody knows who's Mordecai Ham? Ever heard of him? Never heard of him. I heard of him now when I was reading and doing some research. Mordecai Ham was a person that did tent revivals in the late 1800s, early 1900s, tent revivals in America. And at one of his tent revivals, two 14-year-old boys heard the music and the preaching and they wanted to go into the tent. Turn to the person next to you, say, run a straight race. by God's grace. So two 14-year-olds wanted to go into the tent, and there was no place inside the tent. So they walked out, they walked away. And one of the ushers, probably somebody on car duty, saw them and said, "You guys don't have to walk away. We will find two seats for you." You know what's the scary part? Nobody even knows the usher's name. But this usher in heaven will be mentioned one day. And we should be kind in such a way that in heaven one day, we only know the impact of our kindness. So would you like to know who's the two 14-year-old boys that went into the service and got saved? Billy Graham, who led millions of people to the Lord. The friend that was with him was the person who arranged all the crusades for him. His name was Grady Wilson. So the kindness of a no-name usher allowed two boys to find a seat in a service that got born again and who led millions to the Lord. Turn to the person next to you. Yes, give the Lord a hand. Turn to the person next to you. Say, "Your kindness matters." Sometimes when somebody doesn't have a seat or somebody is sitting on your seat, who in the church is a little bit attached to your seat, your spot? There are certain members, I just have to glance. I know you've got like, it's almost like your seat has got your name on. Let me see who of you like to sit on your favorite seat in the church. Let me see who of you will be kind if somebody sits on your seat. Oh, God bless you. I see more hands now. Amen. Hallelujah. We all have a gift on the inside of us, and his name is Jesus Christ. When we allow that gift, Jesus, to touch people's lives, it will lift them up. Your kindness that you are doing now towards people, only one day in heaven, you'll know the impact of that. Grace helps you to find two seats. Kindness helps you to find two seats. For two 14-year-old boys that was, most people say, they're teenagers, let them just go, they can come back and get saved later. What if there's not a later? I remember in the previous church where we served, there was altar call was being made and somebody left and walked out and an usher went and brought the person back and said, "Come." And the person gave their heart to the Lord. Gave their heart to the Lord. When that person left, they died in a car accident. Salvation, just because of obedience and kindness. Amen. Turn to the person next to you, say, "You've got kindness on the inside of you. You've not been aware of. Kindness that you don't know. Super Jesus kindness that will flow from your heart." He says he gives grace and he gives glory. Amen. So in every situation, God will give you the grace to be kind. When they are nasty, when they are cursing you, to bless them. Amen. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus and Savior. To him be the glory both now and forever." Can I just tell you, grow in grace, grow in kindness. In this race that you are running, if you've not grown in kindness, if you've not grown in the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you're busy stagnating. When you are kind, you can manifest the peace of God. Can I tell you what people need more than kindness? They need peace. Peace in their hearts, peace in their minds. And Jesus is the one that can give peace that surpasses all understanding. Not the peace of this world, the peace that comes from heaven. Can I say this? Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. Our words should be seasoned with grace. Let people, when they look at us, see that our words are seasoned with grace. That your words is that jack lifting them up to a new level. Amen? Are you ready to do that? You know, it's easy for our words to be seasoned with grace when everything is going right. But when things go wrong and you go through a difficult time, are your words then seasoned with grace? The Bible says Job, when he went through his difficult time, the Bible says he never sinned with his mouth. He didn't say anything or charge God with anything wrong. What's the first thing that we say when we go through a tough time? Why am I going through this, Lord? Am I talking to the right people here? Do you know why Job was going through what he was going through? Because God was bragging about him. If you know God is bragging about you through what you are going, should you not be giving thanks to God? We don't want to hear that. But it challenged me. The Bible says, in everything he never sinned with his mouth. A matter of fact, the Bible says, two verses earlier, he fell on his knees and he worshiped God. He gave glory to God. He gave thanks to God. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 says. It says, give thanks to God in everything. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I might not understand what I'm going through, but I'm thanking you that you're in control of my life. Thanking, Lord, that you are busy perfecting everything concerning me. And even if there's been a loss, Lord, I know the promise is that you will restore double. So I'm thanking you in advance for your goodness, for your mercy. Family, in this race that we have to run, if you want to be able to give thanks to God in a difficult situation like that, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. Can you see the need for all of us to be born again? So that when we run this race, the Holy Spirit is there to help us to give thanks in every situation. But if you try and do it in your own strength, very easy to murmur. It's very easy to start to complain. It's very easy to say, Lord, why me of all these challenges? But when you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you'll say, Lord, I'm so grateful for your goodness. I'm so grateful that you're busy perfecting everything concerning me. Am I talking to the right people here? Turn to the person next to you, say, run a straight race by the grace of God. Can I tell you, we don't realize how much we need the help of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we even need the help of the Holy Spirit to say, Jesus is Lord. But because we do so many things in our own strength and our own ability, we don't realize how much we need God. John 15 verse 5. I love this verse. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Family, listen to me. In this race that we run, you're not on your own. Jesus said to his disciples, without me, you can do nothing. If you trust in God for extraordinary things, supernatural things, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. That grace working in you and through you, that's what Paul says. He says, I've done a lot, I've worked hard, but the grace of God worked much harder in me, with me, and through me. The heavy weights that you have to lift is not for you to lift. The grace of God is there to help you. But put your hand to the jack. Amen. Let me close with this. We have one life to live for Christ Jesus. And that life is so dear. Live a life that will glorify God's name. Be aware of the gift that's on the inside. Inside, when you're running this race. What is the thing that causes challenges in our lives when we have to run this race? Turn to the person next to you and say, it's going to be straight, but it's going to help you. Family, I can preach this sermon, but if there's no call to action, you're going to say it's a nice message and go home. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So what does he say? He says, if you want to run a straight race and you want to endure until the end to finish strong, lay aside the weights and the sin that so easily ensnares you, cause a weight to pull you down so that you cannot move forward. As a child of God, let me tell you something. You know what is that one thing that's keeping you back? Amen, 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 amen. It is so. It is so. Do you know what's one of the big sins these days? Ensnaring many people, keeping them away from what God wants to do in their lives. Then some people, this is the problem, and stubbornness. No, it's not this. Your temper, your mood, unforgiveness, bitterness. People that God has told you forgive and let it go, but you're still holding on to it. Am I talking to the right people here? Let me see, who wants to run a straight race? Okay, put down your hand. Who of you know you've got some weights and things that are ensnaring you? Let it go. Let it go. He says, lay it aside. You know what that means? It means sometimes you're going to have to delete some games on this phone. Lay it aside. Sometimes you are going to have to delete some social media. Can I have one amen? Oh, it's sensitive. My Facebook, my likes, my. Are you on this while you're supposed to fill your lamp with oil? Is this enough good reason to have the door shut on you? Go read Matthew 25. Sorry, Lord, I wanted to do it, but I was just busy. Turn to the person next to you and say, run a straight race. Whatever is hindering you from running a straight race, lay that weight aside. Sometimes this thing becomes a big weight. Put it aside. God wants to work in us and with us and through us to finish strong. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Here's the secret. If you want to finish strong, rely on the gift on the inside. Rely on that gift. The grace is there. Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit is there to help you. Listen to the prompting. When the prompting is, delete the game, delete the game. When the prompting is, forgive, forgive. Because he wants to help you to move you from where you are to where he wants you to be. He wants to go before you and make your way straight and smooth. But sometimes we don't stay on the path and we go here and there and there. We have one life to live for Christ Jesus. Speak kind words. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm going to be super kind this week. Turn to the person on the other side and say, I'm doubling up on my kindness. Tell them, hashtag kindness club. There's grace on the inside of you to lay aside every weight. That sin that so easily ensnares you, Jesus died for it on the cross. Confess it and let it go. Do what you can to do good. But in this race that we run, let's not become so focused that we're not kind anymore towards people. Jesus is the gift with a lift that's lifting us up to a new level in life. Let us be the representatives of Christ Jesus and be kind to people. Speak words that will lift them up and not break them down. Siela.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.